Hello, fellow Earth folks. I'm Annie Gigg, GYG, here on CFRU 93.3 FM and CFRU.ca, available wherever you are in the world. Warm welcome to Better Me, Better World, the show for growth-minded change makers, difference makers, and happiness makers. Over the past few episodes, I've shared the fact-based time warp conversation between Annie Younger, a.k.a. Annie Y, at age 25, in the year 1980, and Annie Older, a.k.a. Annie O, 35 or more years later. The continuing true story conversation is all about getting to the bottom of things, using the power of inquiry. For this, the final chat between the Annies, you're invited to keep on being a fly on the wall. Well, Annie Y, this is it. Our final chat time. No, Annie, oh, it can't be. There's so much more I still need to learn. But I guess it might as well end, since I'm going to forget everything we've talked about anyway. And I know, over the next 25 years or so, I will learn whatever you could possibly tell me from your present vantage point, since you're my future me. But why does learning have to take so friggin' long? Patience, my dear. Learning is life, or life is learning, whatever. So it's a lifelong process. Ongoing learning, growing, enlightenment happens to be a core value of mine, of yours. So I deliberately seek out learning opportunities in books, videos, speakers, training, etc. But even if I didn't actively pursue it, life passively, you might say, presents us with ongoing learning opportunities, and as long as we're open to receiving the enlightening messages, most often presented in our biggest life mess-ups, I've come to realize, we'll grow, develop, become ever more un-F-withable. I get that, Annie O, after everything you've shared in our conversations. So what's this last chat about? Annie Y, you may recall that I'd greatly upset you at one point when I alluded to how my religiosity, spirituality, has morphed, how yours will morph over the years, and I asked your permission to park that emotionally laden topic for a later day. Well, that's what I was going to broach today, if you're okay with it. Oh, yes, I recall that. I must admit, Annie O, I'm still rather scared about what you might say, but curiosity is trumping my anxiety. No need to be scared or anxious, Annie Y. Remember, this is your story, admittedly yet to be written from your perspective. But way leads on to way, as Robert Frost said in his poem, The Road Not Taken. And it's the way leading on to way, leading on to way you will freely choose to take. Okay, Annie O, nothing like going out with a bang. I'm all ears. Thanks, Annie Y. First, I'm going to share a blog post. What, Annie O? I'm guessing a blog post is another futuristic thing I will someday understand. Yes, sorry, Annie Y. A blog is a regularly updated web page. A web page is a document on the World Wide Web. The World Wide Web is an information system on the Internet. The Internet is a global network of billions of computers and other electronic devices. Okay, forget it, Annie O, you've lost me. Suffice it to say, Annie Y, as a sort of introduction to the topic, I'm going to share with you an article I recently wrote concerning religion, what it is, how it's shown up in the world, and its relationship to personal wellness. It's written as a fanciful conversation between myself and an alien. After that, we'll talk more specifically about my religious spiritual journey. And I thought our time warp conversation was wacky. Fire away, Annie O. All right, here goes. So, an alien from the far side of the Milky Way paid me a visit the other day. Speaking in an unearthly language, but one which I had no problem understanding, it said, I have two questions for you. Depending on your answers, I could win bets with my buddies back home. But pardon my rudeness, Annie. Let me first introduce myself. My name is Curio from beyond your galaxy, and I've been following your Silhouette Kids social media posts for some time. Seems to me your underlying message is something like this. In order for your species to help your very, very sick planet get better, the individuals of your species need to get themselves into better holistic shape. Do I have that right? That's the essence of it, I replied, wondering where this was going. Very well, then, continued Curio. Here are my two questions. Firstly, why is personal wellness necessary for you humans to help repair your stunningly beautiful, one-of-a-kind planet? And secondly, does religion help with that personal wellness? Wow, I said. Those are biggies. I've never broached the religion aspect before. How much time do I have? I will revert to my non-material state in approximately 9.7 minutes your time. Just as an aside, time isn't measurable where I come from. Oh, interesting. Okie dokie, no pressure here. As I launched in, Curio's eyes clicked shut. Because we are a social species, I began, the highest level of human development is healthy interdependence, a person's ability to get along with and work well with others in personal and professional relationships, in a group. Ideally, personal development flows from dependence to independence to interdependence. As you've noticed, we have some really big global issues here to deal with, such as climate change, aka environmental destruction, a very lopsided distribution of wealth, pandemics, and wars, to name but a few. Resolution of these crises requires that individuals problem solve collaboratively and cooperatively, bringing their best, unhindered, empowered selves into the challenges. That's one main reason why individual betterment is vital. Another is, when a person is holistically fit, meaning healthy mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, and spiritually, that person feels that they are enough in and of themselves. They have self-love through self-awareness, which manifests in self-acceptance, self-confidence, self-worth, self-respect, self-motivation, etc. They don't need materialistic things, wealth, fame, or power to feel that they're a success. They know they're successful because they have abiding inner peace and they're living minimalistically yet fully with meaning and purpose. They're not greedy. They're not demanding so much material stuff from Mother Earth's limited resources to vainly try to satisfy a craving for enoughness. We know Mother Earth can provide for humanity's need, but not its greed. There are more, but these are two hugely important reasons why personal wellness is foundational to planetary wellness. Does this make sense? I think Curio was somehow recording my spiel. At my question, its very penetrating, bottomless black eyes snapped open. Yes, that's a good answer in one sense, but on the other hand, you've lost me my first bet. I wagered that personal wellness was a selfish, narcissistic, look how awesome I am pursuit, and that it ended with achieving the pinnacle of independence. I must admit, though, I couldn't reconcile that approach with humanity saving its planet. How did I miss the obvious? I see clearly now that its well-developed interdependence, the highest form of personal growth, that enables collective problem-solving. Perhaps I'll have better luck with regard to your answer to my second question. Maybe, I agreed. But first, what do you think religion is? We need to be sure we're on the same page here. Give me a sec, Curio said, again with his closed eyes. Okay, I see your Wikipedia describes religion as a range of social cultural systems, including designated behaviors and practices, morals, beliefs, worldviews, texts, sanctified places, prophecies, ethics, or organizations that generally relate humanity to supernatural, transcendental, and spiritual elements, although there is no scholarly consensus over what precisely constitutes a religion. Different religions may or may not contain various elements ranging from the divine, sacredness, faith, and a supernatural being or beings. And Wikipedia's description goes on, but I think I've got the gist of it. You know what? I studied religion at the master's level, I informed Curio, and still I find it really hard to explain. But Wikipedia does a decent job. I'm going to simplify its description way down, though, to answer your question as to whether religion helps individuals develop personal wellness. This is how I perceive religion, and be reminded, my perception is limited to my lived experience and studies. In a subjective, unnuanced nutshell, it's a human-created cultural phenomenon that offers guidance on what to believe, think, and how to act in the here and now so as to achieve eternal happiness after you die. This guidance has no scientific basis and relies on faith that the providers of the guidance, typically religious leaders, are instruments of the will of an omnipotent entity. As you will have picked up from Wikipedia, there are an estimated 10,000 distinct religions worldwide, though nearly all of them have regionally based, relatively small followings. Four of those religions, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism, account for over 77% of the world's population. So it's not like there is global consensus among humans on the believing, thinking, and acting. But at a high level, all the major religions do have in common what's known as the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or love your neighbor as you love yourself. Not always the same words, but the same meaning. So, Curio interjected into my monologue, but with eyes remaining closed, one would think that fantastic promise of eternal happiness would be the strongest ever motivator for humans to live by the Golden Rule. However, based on my observations of your planet over the millennia, that doesn't seem to have worked too well. You're a keen observer, Curio. Humanity could presently be on the brink of collapse through destruction of our planet, and we'd never have gotten to this precarious place if we'd abided by the Golden Rule all along. But here's the thing, to my thinking. The Golden Rule only works if a person first has self-love. Only a self-loving person is able to love others as they love themselves. If you don't truly love yourself, you tend to let others crap on you. And if you let others crap on you, you're going to crap on them, pursuant to the reciprocity of the Golden Rule, which is pretty much how things have been going with our species. So my long-winded answer to your question, does religion support a person's development to a higher version of themselves, i.e. foster self-love in order to pay it forward? My definitive answer is maybe. What? That doesn't compute, exclaimed Curio, visibly vibrating, eyes manically clicking open and shut. I can only process yes or no to determine if I win my bet. Okay, let's see if I can be a little more explicit. I stared down into the reflective pool beside where we were standing as if I could find the right words floating around in there. Organized religion, I began, can indeed offer a person a sense of belonging, the benefits of community and guidance in manifesting their life meaning and purpose. Those things are all known to be huge contributors to a person living fully, healthfully, and happily. So yes, in that sense, religion can indeed support personal wellness and help empower a person to make a difference in the world. But here's the caveat. For those benefits to be derived from religion, there must be alignment between a person's authentic self and the direction provided by their religion. If a person feels like they have to deny or suppress or ignore or feel shameful about any authentic aspect of their being because it doesn't align with their religion's guidance, their religion could potentially hinder the actualization of their unique, authentic, empowered self. The religious, however, often believe personal salvation requires conformity to their religion's teachings. I'm speaking from experience when I say people can fall into the religion they inherited from their parents or culture without discerning if it's enabling or disabling them. Another consideration in determining if you win your bet, Curio, is that there is also the tendency for the religious to hold the opinion that their religion is the only right, true way to eternal happiness in the hereafter, which can pit religions once again one against the other and foster a sense of superiority and contempt. And that, my friend, doesn't sync too well with healthy interdependency. I stopped for breath and swore I could hear the whir, drone, buzz, and hum of intense computation behind Curio's shut eyes. So what do you figure, Curio? I asked, to get those eyes opened up again. Overall, generally speaking, from our conversation and your otherworldly observations of Earth over the millennia, does religion foster the personal wellness that is needed for global wellness? I shrieked a nanosecond later, almost toppling over backwards. In a blinding flash with just a hint of a burnt smell, Curio instantly reverted to non-materialism as forewarned. I'll never know who won that second bet. And that, Annie Y., ends my blog post, my article. Annie O., that was a very broad contemplation of religion relative to personal wellness, with a rather unsatisfying ending. I've never really considered those two things side by side. Shall we narrow our perspective down now, Annie Y., and hold religion and personal wellness in mind as we talk about religion / spirituality in your life? Yeah, but why do you keep saying religion / spirituality, Annie O.? Aren't they one and the same thing? Not to my thinking, Annie Y. I describe religion in my blog post Conversation with the Alien, largely pulled from Wikipedia. Staying with Wikipedia, it says there is no single widely agreed upon definition of spirituality. It concludes its attempt at a definition of spirituality saying, and I quote, "In modern times, the emphasis is on subjective experience and the deepest values and meanings by which people live, incorporating personal growth or transformation, usually in a context separate from organized religious institutions. Spirituality can be defined generally as an individual's search for ultimate or sacred meaning and purpose in life. Additionally, it can mean to seek out or search for personal growth, religious experience, belief in a supernatural realm or afterlife, or to make sense of one's own inner dimension." End of quote. To me, a person's spirituality refers to their relationship, their connectivity to the greater whole, their place, their role in, and their life's meaning relative to the greater whole, to the all. People may or may not find organized religion as a helpful tool for enhancing their spiritual aspect. So, Annie O., in light of these definitions of spirituality, I'm thinking the becoming you, becoming unwithable self-development journey that's been part of our conversations could be considered a spiritual journey. And someone on the self-development path might find that their religion does help them to become a higher version of their self. Is this the case for me, you, us? Please say it is. I love my religion, and I'm also very excited about the self-development journey I'll be making. Can they coexist? It's complicated, anyway. Oh, that means you're going to say no, doesn't it? It means I do lose my faith along the way, Annie. Oh, I just know it. Hey, let's not be so hasty, Annie. Why? Let me explain the journey. Then you can decide if you lose your faith, as you put it. All right. I know where you're at right now in your life, Annie Y. You're an active member of your church, attending every single Sunday and all the other holy days as well. During your undergraduate years, especially after studying world religions, you began to broaden your understanding of religion, seeing it from a new perspective, questioning what you'd been taught as a young person. Still, you've remained comfortable with most, if not all, the teachings of your religion. So comfortable and confident, you encouraged hubby to convert, and when he asked you how you knew your religion was the right one, you said you just absolutely knew it, without question, deep in your heart. Hey, that wasn't so long ago, Annie O., but sorry to interrupt, carry on. And you will come to ensure your kids are raised in the faith. You'll want them to have the same strong religious base you had as a child, one you associate with security and family and tradition and righteousness. You'll continue to go to church with them every Sunday and participate in church events with them until they begin rebelling in their teenage years when you're around 45. Oh no, really, Annie O.? I won't be a good enough role model for them to want to stay in the church? Annie Y., believe me, you did what you reasonably could. You had conversations with them, and most importantly, you walked the talk. But as teenagers, they'll be out in the world, shall I say, much more than you were at that age when you were still living in an insular faith-based community. They'll be influenced by peers with much more varied takes on life. guilt and fear of consequences won't have the same pull on them to stay the religion course as you experienced a generation earlier. The truth of the matter is, it's your conversations with your teenage children that are going to cause a crack in your rigid religiosity. It starts out as a hairline crack and slowly grows, but you're not going to feel that's a bad thing, because as Leonard Cohen will sing in 1992, when your youngest is still only 2 years old, there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And you're going to feel the light getting in is as something positive, not something you should try to block. And I don't mean to say here that your religious upbringing has kept you in the dark, because it has offered you much that is bright and beautiful, but rather I'm saying a new light is getting in. The crack is going to widen gradually until one day something rather startling happens that I still remember clearly, even though it occurs almost 20 years in my past. I was alone, painting the living room wall in the house we'd recently moved into, and listening to a Sunday radio program on the CBC called Tapestry, a weekly exploration of spirituality, religion, and the search for meaning. This episode was something about Buddhism, and I suddenly realized that without knowing it, over the past few years, my thinking had become quite aligned with Buddhist perspectives. It hit me like a brick. But thankfully, I didn't fall off my ladder. How did that happen? I never studied Buddhism, never felt compelled to. You will be, well on your way along the personal development path by the time of that stunning realization, having devoured as much self-help material as possible over the years, beginning not too far beyond where you are now. In hindsight, I know my consuming that material greatly enriched and expanded my life perspective that had previously been formed largely by the religion I had inherited. It didn't replace my religious experience. It mixed with it, blended with it, added to it, changed the composition of my spirituality. Early on in life, you were introduced through religion to the concept of something much bigger than the mundane physical world. I always felt I was known and loved and special in my own way within this much bigger existence. And for that, which I consider to be an extremely empowering gift attributable to my early religious exposure, I am to this day very, very grateful. Since I was around 50 years old, I no longer practiced, that's a funny word, my religion the way I had all my previous life, because that way of practice, I came to know, was not aligned with my authentic self, the real me I was becoming, the person I was born to be. So you see, anyway, I wouldn't say that you're going to lose your religion. I think of it more as you're going to develop a robust spirituality that is different from, but incorporates aspects of the formal organized religion you were raised on and currently practice faithfully. Well, Annie, that does make me feel better. I understand about me not losing what I hold as so valuable. Instead of thinking of my personal evolution as falling away from my faith, I can think of it as flying away, not with the intent to abandon my faith, but to fly higher thanks to the solid start it gave me on my life journey, and to which I'll be able to add new, broader spiritual perspectives, new insights. It actually sounds intriguing, the idea of becoming a spiritual mutt, I guess you might say. I like that term, Annie Y. And you know what? There are becoming more and more spiritual mutts, more people with no one religious affiliation that draws them to worship on a regular basis. A Gallup study reported in March 2021 that membership in houses of worship in the United States, be it church, synagogue, or mosque, has declined since you were born in 1955 from 73% to 47% in 2020. This membership decline, the report notes, is primarily a function of the increasing number of Americans who express no religious preference. So, you're certainly not going to be alone on your spiritual journey over your next few decades. I guess some people will find that trend alarming, Annie, as I would have before we had this conversation, but like you asked of your alien friend in your blog post, has organized religion been a positive force in making the world a better place? Is the world a better place where you're at, Annie O, compared to where I am in 1980? That's a very difficult question to answer, Annie Y. The world is an awfully big place with huge variations in quality of life and happiness that have fluctuated over the decades. But I can say personally, I'm in a much better place than where you're presently at, having come some distance on my self-development journey, which includes the evolution of your spirituality. And we've also come almost to the end of our final conversation, Annie Y., but there's one last thing I want to share on the topic of the world being a better place. You're familiar with Time magazine, I know. Well, in an article called 13 Ways the World Got Better in 2023, posted on the future thing called their website, one of the 13 ways particularly caught my attention. It was that in 2023, we found out that joy matters, written by Angela Haupt in 2024. This, in part, is what the article says on joy mattering, and I quote, "Joy is a vital human emotion, but as researchers noted in 2020, surprisingly little study has investigated exactly what it means and how to capture more of it and how to experience more of it. In 2023, that started to change. Researchers from more than a dozen institutions, including Harvard and the University of California, Berkeley, teamed up to determine whether performing micro acts of joy changes how people feel in the short and long term, and whether there are differences based on factors like age, race, and location. Inaugural data from the Big Joy Project, the world's largest citizen science project on joy, with nearly 70,000 participants spanning more than 200 countries, were released in November of 2023. Among the findings, daily micro acts of joy, like making a gratitude list or practicing positive reframing, helped participants experience a 25% increase in emotional well-being, 34% boost in levels of coping perception, and 12% jump in self-reported sleep quality over the course of a week." End of my quoting the article. I've shared this excerpt from the Time post, Annie Y., because my thinking is this. If organized religion brings a person that vital human emotion of joy, which in turn spreads to others, or at the very least does no harm to others, then religion can contribute to making the world a better place. Annie Y., I know our time warp conversations have brought you to a better place, even if only momentarily during the course of our chatting. I say momentarily because after we wrap up here, as you know, you're not going to remember anything we've talked about, but you will make it all real. As you make your way to where I am now, you will definitely be moving into a lasting, better and better place. So goodbye, my dear, sweet younger self. I love you. Oh, Annie, oh, goodbye. I love you too. Flies on the wall, thanks for listening in on the self-discovery conversations between Annie Younger and Annie Older. Our time warp chats are done, but not this program. I invite you to tune in to the next episode of Better Me, Better World on the topic of growth spurts on the BU journey. I'll be back same time next week, same place here at CFRU 93.3 FM or CFRU.ca. The shows are recorded, so alternatively, have a listen when it works best for you. Until next time, be you. I'm Annie Gigg.